ITS Coffee Break for Friday, December 17th, 2010.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we've got several upgrades that have been happening and looking ahead to changes that we'll make in January. We've got lots of tech news to talk about as we get closer and closer to the end of the year, and we'll let you know in help news a couple of ways that you can keep current and also get ready for being more productive in the new year.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Nyquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley. And it's Ken's birthday.
It is my birthday. It's Tron Day.
And he came in just to do a podcast.
Take that, Dave Block.
Yeah, we wanted to get another one out because we're going to be in a new year soon.
We're almost, you're out next week, and then we have the holiday break, and then I'm at HackDoc. So it's going to be a good 3 weeks before we have a chance to do anything more.
Yeah.
So... yes, there's going to be a bit of a hiatus between now and the start of the new year. But so anyway, we had to knock out a podcast. And today is Tron Day because Tron Legacy comes out today on my birthday, which is awesome. So
we arranged it that way.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I was talking with somebody online, and they said, that's the one saving grace for December birthdays is that all the cool movies come out in December now. So, it was Lord of the Rings a couple years ago. It's Tron this year. Next year it should be The Hobbit.
Oh, yes.
So, because they always release those on or about, December 16th, 17th, 18th. So, it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. We're seeing an IMAX 3D in King of Prussia.
Yeah, that would just make me puke, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen anything in IMAX 3D, but it should be pretty cool. So, we have some WordPress news. We upgraded to the latest and greatest version of WordPress. This was basically a security release, so there weren't any new features in this particular new release, which was mostly bug fixes and that kind of thing. But WordPress 3.1 is coming.
That's right. And there is a new feature that I think people are going to be very excited about.
And that is internal linking.
So basically, those of you who use WordPress know that it's a little difficult to create links within your content, so from one page to another. But this is going to make it easier.
Yeah, so you'll just be... from what I understand, Jason Alley's actually tried it. I haven't seen it yet. I need to install the beta on one of my test sites. But basically the idea is that you're able to browse to one of the other pages that you want to link to, and then you insert the link, and then you're good to go. So everything, this is awesome. I think this just takes it one step closer to being, this is probably actually completes the whole CMS loop. Because that's probably the one big thing that people were looking for.
Right. The one challenge that was left.
It certainly is going to help with ease of use, so I'm excited. Speaking of ease of use, we're going to be doing more www usability testing in January. We have a bunch of volunteers who signed up when we did the www feedback survey, in November, right? So I'll be following up with people with some times in January that they can come and do testing. But if you're interested in helping us out, you can email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. And basically what you do is you come over to Skillman, we sit you down in front of a computer and ask you to complete a bunch of tasks, and we see how well the website does. Because we're not testing you, we're testing the website. So should be pretty cool.
Yeah. So I guess other January projects, you mentioned HackDoc Fest, and that's for Moodle. And
right.
We've got a whole laundry list of other things going on in January. That's kind of the funny thing is that everyone sort of assumes that since students aren't around that we get to sort of be off.
Yeah, the semester ends and then everybody relaxes, right?
Yeah, no, everything goes frantic. So, Brenda and EJ are going to be working on upgrades to the smart classrooms, getting those machines upgraded and everything. And actually, anyone who's ever sat in the Jenda Bean room upstairs in Skillman should be excited because they're replacing the screen up there so that it will be brighter and easier to see.
Wow.
Less glare. So we'll have to plan some event up there after
gets installed. Maybe a Moodle showcase?
I'm hoping to get a Moodle showcase this year, yes.
Because that would be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's nice. And we're going to have a new alumni community blogging site that's going to go live in January. It's starting off very small scale, so just a couple of the chapters and classes will be having sites, but it should be interesting. It replaces the old Lafayette Experience site that went away over the summer, so I'm looking forward to having that go out. Let's see, do we have anything else?
I'm sure there's a lot more, but let's wait and surprise everyone when it happens.
When we get back in January, yeah. We can update you on the status of our various projects. So in tech news this week...
It feels like there's so much tech news right now.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just the end of the year, and unfortunately there's sad news at the end of the year, too. Because Delicious is no more.
That is very sad.
I know. I heard about it last night from Brian Alexander on Twitter. So Delicious is a social bookmarking app, and I think it's just like, I think Brian was saying, it's one of the first really big social bookmarking apps.
Yeah.
Social media apps that, I mean, made inroads in higher education because people could immediately see the value of being able to create these collections of links and then share them using, you know, generating RSS, all that good stuff. And
I guess I'm going to have to go move my bookmarks somewhere else and recreate links to them.
So... This is probably a little project we need to think about, right? What would we recommend as a replacement? Because we've done things like told people to create collections in Delicious.
And then suck them into Moodle.
Right, suck them into Moodle using RSS, suck them into WordPress using RSS. So we're going to have to go back and, I mean, there's a lot of social bookmarking sites that we've looked at over the years, but none of them were ever as good as Delicious.
Right.
So, but we haven't probably really looked at these in, what, 2 years?
Yeah, well, I still use, how do you say it, Digo or...
I think that's Digo. That was one of the ones that's on my list.
Yeah,
so... It seems like it's evolved a lot since the last time we looked at it.
It does, but I, you know, in some ways for social bookmarking, I don't really care if you evolve. Like, Delicious was good for me because it was pretty straightforward. I find a link, I click the button on my toolbar, I add in a quick description... I have my contacts there. If I want to send it to someone, I do. And if not, it just gets saved. And it's easy to retrieve. I find it very difficult to find my links again in Digo for some reason.
I can get that. It seemed like it was just too much.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Does it have like a Firefox tie-in? Or
it does. Yeah.
That's a big thing for me. Is like, you know, I had it in Chrome and Firefox. Right. And like shortcuts in Safari that I could easily just, you know, post any link to it. The other option out there, I guess, is Evernote
Now, that's interesting that you bring that up because I've been using Evernote, but I have not been using it for social bookmarking.
I found an article. I'll add it to the show notes if I can find it again. It was basically 10 alternatives to Delicious, and one that came up was Evernote. Now, I haven't used Evernote. Like, I think we might have mentioned this in the last podcast. I haven't actually used Evernote probably since it first came out.
Yeah.
But now that I have an iPhone, I may have to go back and try it again.
Yes. So.
There's also, I think, Google Links. Google has some sort of a links map or book. I think it's Google Bookmarks. So I don't know if that ties into Chrome.
I don't know.
Because you can sync your Chrome bookmarks.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the way it's doing it. I would just get a little bit apprehensive about Google killing off random apps. That seems like one of those that they might just get rid of because it's not, you know.
It's underperforming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's being powered by Chrome... and it ties into your Chrome bookmarks, then maybe not. But in any case, we're going to have to look at some of these alternatives and figure out... because I don't know, like, you know, Evernote and Digo, I don't know if they will generate RSS feeds. I assume they will.
Yeah.
Based on collections, right?
Right.
But I don't know. It's just, it's a sad day. I'm going to miss Delicious. I went and exported my bookmarks, though.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
I guess the next topic I wanted to delve into a little bit, I think this may have come up in the iPad pilot. But it was magazines, digital magazines for the iPad.
Yeah.
And this is something that when people were speculating on the iPad originally, a lot of people were talking about it'll be the savior to print because you can read books on it, you can read magazines on it. So I thought I'd take a look at some of the magazines that are out there. The first one I started with was the Popular Science magazine app. Have you seen this thing?
I don't think I've actually looked at it.
I should have
heard it's pretty cool, though.
It's cool, but... it's weird.
Yeah?
Like, when you're reading through it, like, you're scrolling through columns, it has very tight, narrow columns of text, kind of like what you would see in a newspaper, and then the photos are in the background. And as you scroll through the text, it scrolls through the pictures, too, and there's some animations that are included in it. I think they're trying to be just too cool.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not... Maybe I'm just too old school, but I was kind of hoping for like a digital magazine. Like I didn't need all the extra stuff. And and it just seemed like a waste of space to have this narrow column of text that I have to kind of keep scrolling through. I mean, I guess the idea is that then you can kind of get the feel of going through the photos like you would in a magazine. But
yeah, but I think I'd rather just have a slideshow type thing or a gallery that I can look at.
Yeah. So one of the articles they had was for the December edition was the one that I got. And they had a number of photo galleries, which were cool. But they also had an animation of a spaceship railgun. So basically the idea is that you would have a magnetically accelerated railgun on the surface of the planet that could then shoot spaceships into orbit. Basically giving that it's kind of like, you know, the Genesis to take off kind of thing from an aircraft carrier, or the steam catapults where they're launching them off of an aircraft carrier, right? Same basic idea. You're trying to accelerate it faster without actually having to use any propellant, right?
Okay.
So you get it moving really, really fast, and then its own engines can kick in. So it was a cool little animation, but it just didn't wow me as much as the next thing that I want to talk about.
And what was the next thing?
Flipboard. Wow. This thing's really cool. So you only just started playing with it, right?
Yeah, actually I am right now setting it up on the iPad so that I can look at my own version and not just versions that I've looked at of other people.
Oh, so it does Flickr. I see you're setting up Flickr.
Yeah, I'm just going through and setting up the different content. So tell them what this is.
Okay, so basically the idea is that everybody has, you know, well, a lot of people have like their Facebook account, they have their Twitter account. And the problem with both of these things is they're basically just, they end up being like streams of content, like just lists essentially of status updates and stuff like that. And a lot of it will have links to things that might interest you, but really, you're sitting there, you're watching Twitter go by, you're watching Facebook go by, how often do you have a chance to actually go and click on those links, right? So what Flipboard does is it takes all that content and it turns it into a magazine for your iPad, like a custom-built magazine. So when you click on Twitter, it'll actually build with multiple panels, just like you would see in something like Time or Newsweek, a magazine based on your feed. So it's going to go out, if there's a link in the tweet, it's going to go out and pull the headline, it's going to pull the text, and it's going to pull the photo, and then it's going to give you like a read more link. So basically what you can do is you can kind of flip through this personalized magazine of content generated by your friends, and you can say, oh wow, that looks like a really cool article, because you can start reading it right there. You're not relying entirely on like 140 characters to kind of tease you into going and reading about, you know, some new educational technology or, you know... rail guns and that kind of thing, right? So what I found was it was just, and then the same thing for Facebook is basically you have this stream of content, but it's providing context for it, I think, is basically what it comes down to. It's not just, oh, you watch the updates go flying by. It's, you can actually sit down and read this, and then the cool thing about the interface is that you can just page through it. So you just, that's why it's called Flipboard, is that you just move your finger across and it flips to the next page. And it's just like going through a magazine, and you go to the next page. And then it turns anything that doesn't have a link, it does it as basically a pull quote.
Cool.
So it's...
I can't wait to get all my stuff set up so I can really look at it.
It's really cool. I you know, it's one of those things that's like, is this really gimmicky? You know, is it going to be
maybe,
like a flash in the pan? Maybe, but I found...
But I've heard good stuff about it from different sources.
I spent an hour reading through Flipboard the other night, just catching up on my Flickr stuff, my Twitter stuff, and Facebook stuff, and it's cool. I mean, I think I think what it comes down to is it's a nice alternative way of digesting all that content.
Right.
And it makes it a little bit more manageable, I think. So, the last thing that came up, I know that you were reading some different books.
Yeah.
On the Kindle, right? Or
the Kindle app. On my phone, actually, and on the iPad. But
so how do you have an update? How is it?
I love reading books on my iPhone.
Really?
Yeah.
No, how about the iPad?
It's nice if I'm sitting somewhere, like sitting upright somewhere, holding it, like, or sitting at my desk to read. It's good, but I tend to read a lot in bed, and the phone is just much more manageable because holding the iPad up over my face makes my arms
go
to sleep, right? So the thing I do love, too, is that it is in multiple places and it's synced.
It's synced across
so,
them, right?
Yeah, so if I'm at work and I've got the iPad and I want to read for a few minutes, I can do that. And then when I pick up my phone later because I'm at the doctor's office or I'm, you know, out at an appointment waiting on someone, the same book is right there. So I don't have to, like, pack the book around.
Right.
And that's really cool for me.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I've been reading a book on the Kindle app too, and I like it. I think I prefer the iPad, just because I usually, like, read on my side in bed, so I don't have the whole, like, having to hold the book up. But I liked it. I'm looking forward to trying out the iBook app. I know, I think Chris Phillips actually prefers the iBookshelf.
Yeah. App. You know, here is where I should probably never watch commercials. Because it's the commercial's true, right? Like, if you... I mean, I love Apple products, and I'm not going to get rid of my phone. But it is kind of annoying that books are only good in the one device.
So they only work... So they don't sync to the other devices?
Well, no, they sync to the other devices, but if you were to go from, like, an iPhone to an Android...
Oh, right.
You're going to lose your books.
Yeah, Kindle's everywhere.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, so I have one other thing that I liked about the Kindle app was, I don't know if you've encountered this, but you can highlight text.
Uh-huh.
And other people can highlight text. So as I was reading through my book, there were phrases and passages in the book that other people had highlighted, and it would tell me that five other people had highlighted this passage.
See, that seems kind of creepy, though.
I thought it was really weird. Like, all of a sudden, I found this highlighted thing, and it was basically saying that five other people had thought this, or five people thought this was an interesting passage.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't like that.
So that was interesting. Now, I will say there's one thing that I wish the Kindle app would do, or these books would do. I'm reading a book that's the fifth in a series, and there's a lot of characters, and... I'm having trouble keeping track of all the characters, and I would love to be able to actually, like, select a character's name and then get a brief bio of who that character is.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It lets you define, and it'll do that with definitions, right?
Right.
So you can do it for dictionary lookups, which I think is handy if you're reading something more technical.
Right.
I mean, I'm reading a science fiction novel, but so that's occasionally popped up.
Right.
But it's more technobabble than anything else. But if you could actually say, okay, who is this character? What is this place? And, like, get a little bit of a refresher. It'd be handy for those epic science fiction trilogies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of stuff is coming, though, right? I mean, I think that that's really the interesting thing about digitizing the book,
right?
Is because there are those opportunities to do that.
And that's where I wouldn't mind having a little bit of a premium for the digital copy.
Right.
You know, because this was actually a little bit more expensive than the paperback would have been. But it also came out probably 6 months before the paperback. So, now I do want to rant a little bit about electronic magazines, because I was looking, I just canceled my subscription, Analog Science Fiction, in fact, because I haven't been able to keep up with the magazine. I know, I felt really bad, because they've only got like 20,000 subscribers left. But I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll check out the electronic version, right? And the electronic version costs exactly as much as the print version, which just seems to me to be stupid.
It does seem a little wrong, right?
I'm expecting, like, some sort of a discount, right? You don't have to mail it to me. You don't have to print it. I realize you still have editorial costs, but, I mean, once you've made the print version, it's gravy.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm expecting at least some sort of a discount. Maybe not 50%, but...
Do you think maybe they're trying to do that so that people won't bail on the print?
Yeah, maybe to avoid cannibalizing their print sales, but yeah. I don't know, man. It's just... It bums me out, because it just seemed like, you know, it might be a way to keep up with analog. So there were other people who had similar complaints.
I can imagine.
But in any case. So I guess the last thing I had was geeky gifts. I thought I was going to have more, but I actually only have one. So it's the Geek Dad book. Awesomely geeky projects and activities for dads and kids to share, which, you know, it's by the guys who do the Geek Dad column for Wired.com, but I don't think there's any reason why geek moms wouldn't be able to do all the same activities. But I actually got this for my birthday for my sister, and it's pretty cool. You can build, I think some of the examples are, build a Lego lamp, fly LED illuminated kites at night, which seems just awesome, and then construct Ethernet cufflinks.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so... That was pretty cool. The other book that I got for my birthday was 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kids Do.
Yeah, we were looking at that yesterday, right? Like, cook chicken in the dishwasher.
Cook chicken in your dishwasher. Ride the bus across town. I think, use a pocket knife. You know,
just
all these things that we...
Stuff that we think is too dangerous for kids to do now, but stuff that we did all our lives. Yeah.
Right. Although I got to say, I don't think I've ever tried cooking chicken in the dishwasher.
No, that just seems gross.
I think the idea was, to prove that you can do it, right?
Yeah.
My daughter just, I was reading off the list and she kept saying, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. So.
You'll break her down.
Yeah.
You'll start one and she'll want to help.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. Do you have any other ideas? Anything you came across? Well, I don't want to give anything away for Kelvin. Maybe we have to have this talk after Christmas.
He he's pretty self-explanatory. You know, whatever new Doctor Who thing came out this year, whatever Pet Shop Boys thing came out this year.
That's a hell of a combination.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, I guess geeky other stuff. We went ahead and went Blu-ray. I know many years ago, people remember that
DVD-HD, right?
I was trying to go DVD-HD because it just seemed easier. But actually, one of the reasons why we went ahead and got a Blu-ray player is we got the one that has the built-in wireless so that we can stream our Netflix stuff. And Netflix has really kind of disturbed me that now they're going to raise my rates because I want to have actual media.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I just dropped mine to one DVD a month.
I'm about to do that as well.
Because I'm just not watching it enough.
And so. I've been a long time Netflix, like even if I've held on to the 3 discs for multiple months, I went ahead and left my subscription because I felt like I was helping them out.
Right.
But they're not helping me out. So there you go.
There you go.
And I'll get my one disc at a time.
I do like the streaming though.
Yeah, it is nice. And, you know, I love, again, streaming on my phone.
Well, I'm thinking about doing that at the gym now that I can.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm thinking about, I've been meaning to watch Veronica Mars.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a TV series from a couple of years ago, and they have it all on streaming. So there inspiration to go back to the gym. So in tech tips this week, one of the things I wanted to talk about is something that I don't think a lot of people know about. It's a little thing that's kind of hidden in the background, and it came with WordPress 3.0, and that's WordPress time zones. So back in the day when we first launched WordPress, you couldn't have a time zone that would change based on daylight savings time. So you had to say Greenwich Mean Time -5 for Eastern Time. And if you wanted that to reflect daylight savings time, then you would have to manually go and change it to Greenwich Mean Time -4. Well, now you can actually go into WordPress and you can choose a time zone from the lists, and actually you choose a city from a list. It's kind of like when you set up your clock on Mac OS, or right. I think Windows does the same thing. But basically you find a city that's near you, and then the daylight savings time settings will change automatically based on that city. So in order to do this, you just log into WordPress and then click on the settings link in your dashboard. This brings up an options page, and from there you can change the time zone from manual offset to New York. And like I say, this is a new option that was introduced in WordPress 3, and whenever I create new sites at Lafayette, I automatically do this. But when the older sites haven't been converted to the updated time, so it's handy.
Yeah.
Especially if you get really, you know, if you're really concerned about the time when something gets posted, I can
like
see it being more
classes.
Important classes. Right. Right.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of that, we've got some interesting content up from this semester. So I plan to maybe write a little quick piece on the ITS blog, or maybe put it on the ITS site as well, just to kind of let people know what's going on.
WordPress showcase?
Yeah, maybe. It might be in the future. So other things we have planned for January, workshops upcoming. Erica is doing several different productivity things, so things with Excel and Word. I'm actually going to do one that I haven't actually taught. I was supposed to teach it back in May or early June.
Oh, and then we all know what happened then, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and do that one. But basically, it is trying to help people make heads or tails of when to use Opinio, when to use a PDF form, and when to just have people email you information back.
Oh, cool.
Or contact form set of thing. So take a look at the workshop schedule. We'd love to have you spend a couple hours with us over January.
Cool. Well, we're always looking for feedback on the show. You can email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu.